Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, along with my co-host, Elder David Clifton. We thank God that we're able to be here to get into the perfect law of liberty, which is none other than the Word of God. So what a blessing it is to be able to do that, get in the perfect law of liberty, which is things called the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. So it's a blessing. And we have been going through the book of Romans, which is, we know the key phrase in the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. So we've been going through that, and we're right down to the end. If we don't wrap it up today, we will wrap it up on next week. But it's we've been talking about justification, sanctification, glorification is actually the last thing that. But we talking about faith and all what it entails, and the faith of Abraham, and actually going back how Abraham had the gospel preached unto him. So it's all by faith. So we know, just like the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we know, and even talking about, we know this book, letter, was written to the church at Rome, which were believers who were already saved. And then one important question, I think, that Apostle Paul proposed, because now in our world, we got people are popping up, these unbelievers and these agnostics and these atheists are popping up and trying to promote this atheism. So like the Bible said in Romans 3:3, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Apostle Paul goes on to say, God forbid. So it doesn't matter. You know, you do yourself a disservice by not believing. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. They were not able to enter into the promised land because of that one word, unbelief. So we're going to move on. At this time, we're going to have Elder Clifton, David Clifton, if he has a food for thought, we're going to do that.
Amen. Just briefly, I wanted to read from the first chapter of 2 Corinthians, and just to give a little forethought on this. We're living in a day and age now where, and mostly you see this with the televangelists, where they're preaching a lot of prosperity messages, and it almost seems that people want to tie in blessings with having some type of relationship with God, financial blessings, you know, a nice home, nice car, nice job, you know, all these good things are always seem to be tied in with having some type of relationship with God, and it's almost like people don't want to look at the other side of the coin, if you will. So first chapter in 2 Corinthians, I want to start at verse number 5. It says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse number 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. And then it's just to, you know, to shed some light or some truth on the fact that as true believers, as the saints of God, there's going to be some bumps in the road. There is going to be some sufferings. That's part of the walk with God. So we can't think, you know, for those that may be new in the faith, that everything is going to be good and you're just going to be blessing after blessing after blessing. There are going to be some bad times in Christ. And I just want to, you know, share that with you all, because it seems like the prosperity message is drowning out the truth. Amen.
Yeah. And we know that people are just, they're in there. They suppose that, like Paul wrote to Timothy, he says, for some supposing that gain is godliness.
Uh-huh.
He said, from such turn away.
Uh-huh.
So we know in Philippians 1 and 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him,
yes,
but also to suffer for his sake. So that scripture there, he doesn't say his name's sake, but it's one and the same. You're suffering for Christ.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to suffer for his sake. So it's not a ha-ha-ha salvation. You know, nothing's going to go wrong. But that we don't, Peter even said, for us, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that's come to try you, as though some strange thing happened. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So we know that these things are going to happen. We're going to have trials and tribulations, be it in the church or not in the church. We're going to have trials and tribulations. That's a part of life.
Amen.
You know, man born of a woman, live a few days and full of trouble. As the sparks go upward, when we're born, things are going to happen in our lives. So we thank God for that. We know. And we're going to be tried. So there's nothing to be act all surprised about. As Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthian church, when he said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful,
mm-hmm.
who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will also, with the temptation, make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So that's 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. So we're going to have things that are going to come to try us.
Yes.
So we shouldn't be surprised. So we thank God for this book of Romans, as we always have been trying to say these weeks that we've been going through this book, that this book is written to people who are already saved, and that is baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues or other languages as the Spirit gives them what to utter.
Amen.
So these are believers,
mm-hmm.
to, in the church at Rome, who he wrote to. So you can't confess what you don't have, is the point being. So we have various things that we've been talking about, and then also in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters, also talking about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Then on, we talked in the 13th chapter of Romans about civil government and our authorities, rulers and ordinances and police officers and law. Just like Paul wrote to Timothy, said, the law is not for a righteous man, but for sinners, for unprofane, for profane, all these things. And then anything that's contrary to sound doctrine. So we know that a ruler, we don't have to worry about a ruler as long as we're doing what's right.
Amen.
And he told us to pay tribute also to they, also to them. They're God's ministers continually upon this thing. We know it's enough going on right now. We have police officers. We have all kinds of law enforcement. We got folks going around like that Barney and Clyde, with face masks and guns,
mm-hmm.
robbing and doing all kinds of things, and we have it. Imagine if we didn't have any law.
Yeah.
It'd really be horrible.
It'd be like the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's the Wild Wild East and all that, the East Side, the West Side, and all that. So, but we thank God for his word. And then last week we were in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and so this week, we're going to just go far as we can in the 15th, and the 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians. So we know love is the highest order of love, the law of love. So that's why the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, mm-hmm. that he laid down his life." And we ought to lay down our lives also for the brethren. First John, the first epistle of John, 3:16, that God didn't die as a spirit, but he died as a man. So he laid down his life. So that's love. So even in the fifth chapter of Romans, I believe, he said, "What manner of love hath the Father hath bestowed upon us?" So, he said, about Christ dying while we were yet sinners, Christ mm-hmm. died for us. Amen. I'm thinking of 1 John. In the fifth chapter of Romans. So if you got love in your heart, you're going to make a sacrifice one way or another.
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to get started here in the 15th chapter of Romans.
Amen. Amen. I'll start
off
here.
Yeah.
We have verse number 1. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolations grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust." So, the beginning of this is kind of a continuation of what you dealt with last week and how you were talking about love.
Yeah.
And I believe that is something, Elder Cannon, that a lot of us that profess Christianity, we're lacking is that love of Christ, and we know that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So we that have received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we should have that love within us, and we don't have to, out of all the things that we have to be taught, we have to be taught how to pray, we have to be taught how to fast, how to read, how to study. We don't have to be taught how to love one another if we have received the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That should be in us. And if I could, just briefly, when you were talking about love, I do believe it's the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to read that whole chapter, but I just want to bring out some points when dealing with love. Paul is telling them here, "As though I bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, which is love, it profited me nothing." And then he goes on to say, "Charity, which is also love, it suffereth long, and it's kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up, it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh nor his own, and is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth." And it goes on, and he tells all these things that love does and what love doesn't do.
Right.
And then he goes on and he says, he's talking about faith and hope. He says, charity, he said, but the greatest is charity. So there's several times in Scripture, and I also believe that Peter, he deals with how powerful love is.
Yeah.
And out of all the gifts that you may have, out of all the things that you may be able to do, you know, we have people that give to charity all the time, and, you know, maybe they go feed the poor, and, you know, they do all these, what we would say, great things, but they have no love. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And then going back to Romans, and something that I like to always remind myself of is that it's whatsoever things were written aforetime, the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And you see that having hope, the reason that we as believers have hope, it's because of the Scriptures, what were written in the Scriptures.
Right.
If we didn't have the testimony of God, there would be nothing for us to hope for. There would be no reason for us to be walking with Christ. So Paul here, he's wrapping up, if you will, this letter, and then he goes down, as I read, and he's kind of bringing, if you will, the Jews and the Gentiles back together as one in salvation. Amen?
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That was my key verse. I always refer to that verse, the fourth
mm-hmm.
verse,
uh-huh.
about the Old Testament, things that were written. They were written for our learning.
Yes.
So even people out there trying everything, Solomon already done that.
Yeah.
That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about. He gave himself to madness. He had servants. He'd done all these things, and he said all his vanity and vexation of the spirit. So that, and all the other things that happened, people had great disappointments in things that they'd done. These things were written for our learning. And so, and then not only that, how people say that, thank God that the Jews didn't, as the nation of the Jews, Jewish nation as a whole, didn't receive the gospel, that we were grafted in. We were grafted in, true enough, but we can see here this is just a witness to the Scriptures that he was going to be a light unto the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can see in the book of Isaiah, it speaks numerous times about the Gentiles receiving this salvation.
Amen.
So knowing the foreknowledge of God had already made a way for us to be grafted in, to be saved. Then not only that, Peter preached out of the book of Joel, and it shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So Jew and Gentile, you know, it doesn't matter, bond or free, male or female, you know, what nationality, but God came to save souls.
Yes.
That's what he was so concerned about. So this is what we can see here, what it's all about. And like he said, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So like I said, we got to have hope. And that's why we read earlier in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, I believe, we're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. He said, what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? And he goes on to say, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's all about, is we have expectation.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to fulfill his word. He's going to do what he said he was going to do.
Amen, amen. Picking up in verse number 14, he says, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And that's just, you know, one of those things. I mean, as we're reading, you can easily look over things, but he says that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So that, again, shows you when you're going before God and you're trying to offer up yourself, as we should do, a living sacrifice, you have to be sanctified.
Right.
And you're not going to be sanctified, or you are not sanctified, if you have not yet received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So
right.
That is just one of the many reasons that we have to have the gift of the Holy Ghost, because it is that which sanctifies us so that we can offer up an acceptable praise or worship, if you will, an offering to God. Paul goes on to say, I have therefore whereof I may glorify through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that for Jerusalem and round about unto Iricium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. For as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it has pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things.
Yeah.
When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to you them this fruit, I will come to you in Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers for God to me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Amen. And I like this. And so we see people always sealing off their telecast or their broadcast with send me an offering.
Uh-huh.
That ain't what he said. But he said that it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. He's talking about giving,
yes,
not taking from folks.
Yes.
It had pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty also is to minister unto them in carnal things. Money.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I have performed this, and they have sealed to them this fruit. I will come by you into Spain. So what he's saying is he is counting it a blessing to be able to minister some money or to give some money to somebody else who needs it.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
I mean, amen to that kind of statement. Would to God that these Republicans and this Congress and all would have mercy on other people
mm-hmm.
nowadays. Instead of wanting a tax break and trying to damn people who lost their jobs. And incidentally, there are many people, college graduates, that are unemployed
mm-hmm.
more than ever before, what they're saying. So we have people nowadays don't even have compassion. But thank mm-hmm. God for the man of God, the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
He had compassion. So he's talking about his heart is, now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And he's talking about the contribution for the poor saints, which are at Jerusalem.
Yes.
So Jesus made this plain that he said, you always have the poor with you, but me you don't have always.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of folks are not poor because they want to be.
Right.
And I mean, I think what a shame, even in our world today, they have a class of people which is a shame to say, and that is they gave them a name, and they even call themselves, and that is, it's a shame to say, the working poor.
Yeah.
Which means they don't have insurance, and they can't even afford hardly
That's
to make
right.
it.
That's right.
That makes it, it's a shame. It's sad.
And again, here, as you were talking, I'm just thinking, nowadays, we have a lot of these men that are in high places, if you will, these pastors, and or these traveling, if you will, preachers. They go to these churches and they take all these offerings and they take all that money, mm-hmm. Elder. and stick it right in their pocket. And they're the ones that's walking around in these nice, sharp suits, and, you know, they got all the gators and the fine cars. And it's not wrong to have good things.
Right.
But have you distributed any money to any other saints that are in need, or to any other churches that
right.
are in need? And that's something, again, that we're lacking. You know, we have this manuscript of this way of life set out before us in the scriptures, but we have brothers that are not following by this. And
right.
I know that there are some churches out there that have need of some things. You know,
exactly.
You have this great big cathedral, if you will, set out here, and you know, you got several cars, and you know, you have a golf course, you know, set up, all these magnificent things attached to your church, and then you have brothers and sisters that may be in need of a facility. Maybe you need an area for your young children doing
right.
service.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't help out. So where is the help, or where is the love, if
right.
you will, of Christ for your brothers and sisters? So it's good to see that these things were mentioned in the scriptures.
Right.
It's sad to see that they're not being practiced in our day and age right now.
Right, yeah, like they should be. They could be even more so.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so.
We'll go ahead and start in chapter number 16 then. It says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchreae, that ye receive her in the Lord as become of saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succor of many, and of myself also.
Yes, and that word succor means a helper.
A helper.
Yeah,
and as we go on here,
yeah.
Brother Paul here is going to mention a lot of names of women in ministry.
Yeah,
so we have some out there that say that women can't preach the gospel, they can't be in the ministry, and I would just without arguing with you, I would just have you do some background on these women here, and you tell me. What they were doing.
Right.
So again, we have people you have ideas or you have opinions versus facts.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures are the facts. Your
right.
opinion doesn't belong anywhere in the scriptures. So I know that you may believe for some strange reason or another. Well, it's not a strange reason. It's by you not rightly dividing the word that you
right.
believe women can't preach. But he's mentioning women here that helped in the ministry.
Right.
And these were ministers, some of these women that he's going to be preaching. Also, the elect lady, John, that's third John. That also is another example
yeah.
of a woman in ministry, amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's in Galatians 3. In 28.
Mm-hmm.
So in the body of Christ, he's not looking at your gender, but he is the one that gave the gifts and gave the ability, gave the talent for people to be able to operate in the body of Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. So it says that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I gave thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And just to speak to that again, you see Priscilla, which was the woman mentioned before Aquila.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in the scriptures where you see two people named together, as we mentioned, and this was some time ago back in the book of Acts, where it was Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. Then you've seen a shift, if you will, in their ministry where Paul became the front runner, if you will, and the order of their name was mentioned, and then you begin to see Paul and Barnabas. When you see a name mentioned first, that usually designate some type of leadership or headship, if you will, in that ministry. So again, you see Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ, and it says also to greet the church that is in their house. So
mm-hmm.
they had a church in their house, amen.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you have Priscilla, a woman that is mentioned before her husband in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It also says that I thanks also, well, also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Greet Anclius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stasis, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, two other women who labored in the Lord. Salute the beloved Paris, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So we have Paul here. He's giving recognition to those that are laborers and have labored
mm-hmm.
with them. And again, I see this as Paul is not, he's not taking all the recognition, if you will, for himself and saying that he is so great and he's done all these things, but he's recognizing those that has helped him and has labored with him. And it's good, amen, to salute, you know, your brothers in Christ or your fellow laborers in Christ. It's good to give them, if you will, for lack of a word, their due respect.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can have people that are laboring with you, assisting you, and if you don't show them any appreciation, they may feel that they're not helping out. You have to also, you can't, if you will, put a rooftop on someone's ministry. If a brother or a sister has been called to the ministry of Christ, you have to allow them to operate in some capacity when they're ready so that their gift may work, or you're going to lose that person. And I think this is another thing that we're having. You have some of these men, they're more rulers, if you will, than overseers, and they're taking people's ministries and they're not allowing them to flourish.
Right, they're smothering them.
And that's bad,
right,
really, in the end, for the entire body of Christ, because
right.
different people are setting different ministries for a reason.
Right.
That gift may be able to that gift may be able to help that ministry in some capacity, but if you're not allowing that person to go forth, your ministry could be hurting in that area, and you don't know about it. But again, it's more of this, you know, I'm the pastor, this is my church, and, you know, I'm going to be the only one that does this, that, or the other.
Right.
That's not how it should be. If
no.
you've been called, you need to, amen, work your gifts, amen. Is that
exactly.
correct?
Exactly, yeah. You should be able to let the Spirit have free course. So whoever you have under you, then not only that, if you got a pastor that's walking with God like he should, then he can bring out the best in you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, because it's not about us, no way. It's supposed to be about Jesus. And I think people are so caught up in, I'm the man, and I run this house, and I decide this. I mean, you see them on television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the whole point. Folks are so important. And, I mean, even our former president, he made that plain, that I'm the president. So some people need to realize who they are. But on the other hand, you got to have other people working with you. It's not a one-man show, and it never was
right.
a one-man show.
Right.
So it's about Jesus anyway. So I think this is very important, this next verse, verse 17. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. So that thing we are scared to do, we're scared to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we got some folks that's backing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the devil's supposed to be taking the back seat, not us. So they're not holding dearly to the doctrine and putting the doctrine of Christ out there, which is the apostles' doctrine. And so, in my opinion, I said this, Romans 1:16, Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you're not promoting the doctrine of Christ,
mm-hmm.
you're ashamed.
That's right.
You scared to say it?
That's right.
People are not afraid to say who they work for,
mm-hmm.
what company they work for. They're not ashamed of them. Most people are not. So that's not a thing that should be... And they're walking contrary. He says, I mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So that Bible tells us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, with all meekness, you know, lowliness of spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know, how we're supposed to endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace.
Yes.
So that don't mean you're scared. You got to go over the water to make peace.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got to stand up for what's right. It didn't matter. Like our parents, they chastise us. It's too bad. You messed up. They straighten you out.
Amen.
They weren't
Amen.
Afraid.
Amen.
And that's the same way we should be with our children and our grandchildren.
Right.
Yeah, you got to. This is for you. No chastening. If you're getting chastised, It's not joyous, but it's grievous.
Uh-huh.
But afterwards brings forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So it's the same way here. We can't be letting down for so-called peace sake.
Uh-huh.
The Bible is right. Like one of our pastors in another city, used to say, the Bible's right, and somebody's got to be wrong.
That's right.
And that's right.
That's
yeah.
Right.
That's never changed. Yeah,
it is because of that. It is because of the other canon that we are not upholding this particular scripture right here.
Mm-hmm.
That we have so much confusion amongst what we call as Christians nowadays, because there are some, whether they're purposely doing it or not, causing
right.
division among those that call themselves Christians. And
right.
John goes on to say that if any man bring another doctrine,
right.
says,
receive him not in your house.
And don't bid them God's
right.
You're a part of evil deeds. So he calls it evil deeds. And
mm-hmm.
if you're preaching something other than the apostles' doctrine, then that is considered evil deeds. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
we have to understand, you know, a lot of times people will accuse us of being, I guess you could say, too dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is we are upholding the truth here, and if you are not a believer in repentance, the baptism in Jesus' name with the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that's just the foundation, if
right.
you will, that you need
basics.
To have. The basics.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe in that, you shouldn't be preaching to any congregation.
Right.
I don't care if you call yourself a Christian. Do you have the doctrine that the apostles taught and preach? And that doctrine is the one that they receive from Jesus Christ. If you don't, you are in error, you're causing division, and we are supposed to avoid you.
Right.
I am not supposed to be coming and listening to you teaching and preaching. I shouldn't be buying your books. I shouldn't be buying your CDs or your DVDs.
Right.
So I don't have a problem. You know, a lot of times people ask me, what do you think about, you know, this televangelist or this one or this one? I don't listen to any of them.
Right.
They say, well, why not? Well, the primary reason I don't listen to them is because they do not have the doctrine of the apostles.
Right.
And I am supposed to avoid them.
Right.
So, again, as you said, brother said, the Bible is right.
Somebody got to be
Somebody's
wrong.
Somebody's got to be wrong.
Right.
We have all these different teachings, and if there's supposed to be only one way, then that means that all these other ways, someone's got to be right. And unfortunately, someone's got to be wrong.
Right. It's like we've always said, we're not done. We dealt with the so-called Jehovah's Witnesses doctrine, the Mormons doctrine. We're going to deal with that stuff as time goes on, the origin of it, because
mm-hmm.
we know the origin of the church. before the New Testament scriptures were written, all they had was the Psalms, they had the Law of Moses, and they had the prophets. That's where they preached Jesus Christ out of, the Old Testament.
Amen.
They didn't have the New Testament.
That's right.
So that's what he's talking about here. So then that's why Jesus was said, all things must be fulfilled which were written in the Law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets, he says, concerning me.
Mm-hmm.
So all these other stuff, just like Catholicism, and I mean, just to bust somebody's bubble, just like what's going on right now, the so-called Christmas season.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, you got to really know what's going on.
Amen.
This, as far as in our modern time, this Christmas season came out of the Catholic Church.
It did.
You know, a mass for Christ is what it's talking about.
Uh-huh.
He don't need a mass. And so what it's really all about, I mean, shame on us, this foolishness. Some of us are so greedy, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Uh-huh.
Rudolph and all this foolishness. I mean, when I was little, I used to, I mean, they lying to people. A lie is a lie.
Is.
The Bible said, no lie is of the truth. Ain't no Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer and Santa Claus and his helpers and the North Pole. Ain't no South Pole, no East, or no West Pole. Ain't no Central Pole. Ain't no pole at all.
Amen.
That's
amen.
Foolishness.
Amen.
People writing letters to Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what a lie. I mean, that's, you know, we told our kids there ain't no Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's, you got to tell it like it is. I mean, am I totally throwing out Christmas? I'm throwing it out. But on the other hand, I ain't crazy. I worked for General Motors for 30 years before I retired, and we were off every year.
Amen.
I didn't turn the money down or none of that.
Amen.
I ain't lost my mind.
I'll be working, and I'm going to gladly take that.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, it was a benefit that came with it. But you got to know, just like Jesus says, that you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
Truth has made me so free. Now, Christmas and the birth of Christ, here's what is two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas ain't got nothing to do with the birth of Christ.
Amen.
Or the birth of Christ has nothing to do with Christmas.
Amen.
And these same folks every year, they're going to preach out of the book of Luke.
Uh-huh.
They're going to preach out of the book of Matthew.
Uh-huh.
About the birth of Christ was on this wise and all that. That ain't got nothing to do with Christmas.
Amen.
And no Santa Claus and no Christmas tree. And I like eggnog too. And all of that. You know, like anybody else, I ain't crazy. I'm a human being.
Yes.
Here on planet Earth. But I'm not going out, getting in debt, buying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I'm going to do is get some good food I want. I ain't got no tree, and I've been lost. I mean, I know the truth, so I'm not caught up in all that stuff.
Amen.
Folks talking about have a Merry Christmas. What do you mean? They don't even know what they're talking about.
Amen.
Hey, have you got your shopping done? You know, everybody go get their Christmas shopping done. I mean, you got to know who you are, and you'll be free.
Amen.
You don't have to get all caught up in this stuff, this foolishness. And so he's talking about those that walk contrary to the doctrine and which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
Mm.
And see, a lot of people, they know. They ought to quit lying to their children about that Santa Claus foolishness.
Mm.
But they were really, I heard one of our most prominent pastors and singers a couple of years ago. Christmas was on a Sunday or whatever. Anyway, he was saying, he challenged people, and I was kind of thought, man, I thought he was very courageous for saying it. He said it, the birth of Christ and Christmas is two different things. And a lot of people there are so jelly-backed, they won't say it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this ain't about, give a kid a Christmas. A kid need food every day.
Yeah.
I mean, folks is hungry. It's no fault of their own. They lost their jobs because, like they said, 88 cents. To $1.17 an hour to do it in another country?
Mm-hmm.
Who could compete with that?
Mm-hmm.
We can't. That's not a livable wage for us. So we need to tell the truth about stuff. I mean, not just this. We say this time of year, this is a good time of year to help people, to feed them and all that. Folks is hungry every day. not December the 25th week. So
yeah, that's a good point. And,
yeah.
And it's one thing, and I'm satisfied with the truth of all these things.
Yeah.
We understand that the world is going to be the world. They're going to do the things of the world. But
exactly.
For those that are professing Christianity, you just ought to research these things. These things are
yeah.
not, it's not hidden.
No.
You know, you get you a lot of encyclopedia and research the history
or
of
just Google
things.
It.
Google it.
Google where the Christmas
comes from. The information is out there.
Yeah.
And Christmas, along with a lot of those other what you call them, pagan days, mm-hmm. just real briefly. The pagans had all these different worshipings that they partook in, even the Christmas tree and all these things that you're doing, it all has an origin, and they were supposedly being converted to Christianity, but they didn't want to let go of some of these things. So the Catholic Church, if you will,
mm-hmm.
adopted these pagan
right.
days and put a Christian twist on it so that these people could essentially do what they shouldn't have been doing, and that's bringing worldly things into what they would consider the body of Christ.
Right.
You think about it, you are purposely lying to your kids as a Christian, telling them that Santa Claus is coming down the chimney.
Right.
Why are you in a house? That's home invasion first degree.
Right.
A man coming in your house, you didn't invite him in. He's leaving these presents. Like, why would you lie to your kids? And if you think about this, no one ever really sits down, unless they want to tell their children the truth, sits down and tells them,
right.
you know, Santa Claus has been fake all these years. You wait till your kids grow up,
right.
and another kid at school or something tells them, you know, Santa Claus fake.
Right.
Why are we purposely lying to our kids? And then another thing that you just have to think sometimes, look at the attributes that they're giving Santa Claus. He's all-knowing. He knows if you've been good or bad all year long.
Mm-hmm.
All-knowing. Who does that sound like?
Right.
He delivers presents to all the kids in the world in one night. That
mm-hmm.
means that he's omnipresent. Who does that sound like?
Mm-hmm.
You if you look at some of these things, he's flying. He's magical. He's doing these miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Miracle on 34th Street or whatever it is has something to do with Santa Claus. They're giving Santa Claus some of the attributes, if you will, of God.
Right.
That's craziness.
Right. Right.
So, you know, there's many people that will frown on us because it's put up on this pedestal as this great Christian day, if you will. But again, research these things. Do your homework. And if you're not afraid to receive the truth, it's there.
Right.
It's there for you to know. And I believe that you'll be greatly blessed in truth anytime you receive it. Amen.
Right, right. And that's definitely contrary to the doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line of the Christmas holiday season to retailers is money.
That's right.
It's all some of them make more than 50% of their annual revenue
mm-hmm.
during the so-called holiday. And I come up with one conclusion. They say happy holidays, and that's what they are. They are holidays. They made them.
Mm-hmm.
They are holidays.
Right. And all of them are going to be happy is the kids because the parents are going to be in debt.
Right.
They working their butts off for the rest of the year trying to pay off them credit card bills
right.
for buying all, you know, and again, it's the world almost forcing your hand to do things because you feel like when I first got the truth about Christmas, I almost felt like I was out on an island by myself. You know, I was at work, you know, talking with my coworkers, and they was all talking about, you know, Santa and how they be setting their kids up and where they hide the presents up in the attic and all this stuff. And then they rush and labor to put all the stuff under the tree. And I told them, I said, yeah, well, I sat my kids down and told them Santa Claus was fake.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked
wow.
at me like I was the Antichrist in the flesh. They
mm-hmm.
told me how mean I was. But telling my kids the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mean for lying to my kids.
Right.
I mean for telling them the truth. So, again, we see the madness in that. And then you have all these great orators on television, and they make these things sound very good. I'm talking about these televangelists.
Mm-hmm.
They make them sound very, very good, but they're enticing you by words and by this fair speech. And a lot of people, they're simple-minded. They don't want to research anything. They just will believe anything that you put out there. Instead of being like the Bereans that we talked about in the
search
book of Acts.
Scriptures.
You got to search
daily.
The scriptures
exactly.
daily to see if these things are so.
Right, yeah, because there is this one church, they get these bicycles, and they want you to buy it again so you can put somebody's name on it. And I mean, and then not only that, they choose out people who are going to be receiving these bicycles.
Uh-huh.
So somebody going to be crying. I mean, if this is all God, everybody would be happy.
Amen.
You know, and it's it doesn't make sense the way it all goes. Then somebody wants to get the credit. Somebody wants to get the glory.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and folks ain't saying, well, don't give me. No, give me, give me, give me. Because
uh-huh.
it's all about me. You know, it ain't giving. I mean, sure, people, families get together and all that. I mean, they made it. They created this holiday.
Uh-huh.
Folks are going to get together.
That's
I mean,
right.
We're not crazy. We get together. We many people that are in the church We're not going to avoid our family, but we do know the truth.
We know the truth.
I'm not going to pick up my grandson or my nephew or whatever and say, what did Santa Claus bring you? I'm not going to tell that lie.
Amen.
You know, like the one preacher said years ago, he said, I tell my kids he's a clown.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's another thing. You don't know who in these bozo, you know, like people talking about Mickey Mouse and all that. You don't know, with all these pedophiles and all these dirty folks doing all kinds of things, you don't know who under them uniforms.
That's right.
These, that mascot at that one college the other week, they had to throw him out because he got the acting up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put that head on another one.
That's,
I mean,
right.
Folks is getting shown who they really are. So, you know, we got to, and nothing wrong with us believing the word of God. So we got to serve our Lord and not our own belly. You know, not deceiving the hearts of people. Ain't no, well, you know, when you tell people, like, well, we're talking the plain truth, they're well. Ain't no well. Well, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It is a lie.
That's it.
I mean, you got to know the truth of the whole matter. So the point being that Christ has made us free, so that means that I'm already done with my Christmas shopping before I started.
Well, start.
I didn't do it. I ain't doing it.
Amen.
You know, and I ain't crazy. And, I mean, we still do, and what we tried to do in our home when our children were growing up is that their birthday was very special.
Mm-hmm.
That's their birthday.
Right.
That's very special.
Would you think about how disappointed your kids would be on their birthday? You're going to go buy Christmas presents or birthday presents for somebody else.
Right.
It's my birthday.
That don't make sense. Right.
It's supposed to be Jesus' birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is going to
let them tell it.
Chris,
right.
Getting gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's just, I mean, if you just sit back and really think about the things that you're doing,
mm-hmm.
understand what recognition are you giving Jesus on that day?
None. I mean,
it's all about Santa Claus,
right,
and Rudolph and Frosty,
right,
and Snowman,
mm-hmm.
and credit card bills going sky. It has nothing to do with the Christ.
No, only
really look at it.
Right. Only way they put him in is when they bless the food.
That's it.
That is all.
That's it.
Yeah.
Singing songs about you know, all these other guys, and
mm-hmm.
you got a couple songs that speak about Jesus. But again, it's just one day a year. One day a year.
Right.
Christ should be celebrated
every day. Yeah.
And more than his birth, it's his death that
right.
I'm excited about.
Right.
Because had he not died, his blood would not have been shed. And if his blood had not been shed, my sins would not have been able to be remitted. That's what I'm happy about.
Right.
I'm happy about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what we should be celebrating.
Right, and that's what he told us to do. He told us to remember his death.
Yes.
Now, we do know he was born. We're not crazy.
That's right.
We know under us a child is born. 33 years later, a son is given. We understand that. We understand that Isaiah, in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, we understand about the virgin birth. A virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We understand all of that. We understand ain't no December the 25th. That is a lie. And Herod wanted to kill him. He told that lie to tell me where he is so I can come and worship him. No, Herod wanted to kill him.
That's right.
And so that's why they had to hide him and get out of town until Herod
died.
Died.
That's right.
Yeah. So, see where we at. So, yeah, so he says, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, those that are contrary to the doctrine, but their own belly, by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto them which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stomp this lie out.
Amen.
And to tell people, set yourself free. Folks, and I remember an unsaved guy used to say, forget Christmas. And that ain't how he said it. Years ago. Well, he really was right when you think about it, because people looked at it like, man, I got to go get in debt. I'm tired of that. People be talking about, I want this, give me that.
Mm-hmm.
So Timotheus, my fellow worker, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sospater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the whole church saluted you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluted you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him that is of power, to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept, secret since the world began, but now is manifest and by the scriptures of the holy prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So we thank God. That's what we're intending to do, just like our badge, our what we have, and that is truth is what we are most definitely, our endeavor is to promote truth. And it doesn't matter that it cuts against the grain. It's going against the grain. And the plumb line, like that's what Amos said, what do you see? You see a plumb line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. And this is what the Lord said back in the book of Leviticus, 10 and 10. You may put a difference between unclean and clean,
yes.
Holy and unholy. So there is a difference.
Yes.
And so folks giving away Johnny Walker Red and all of this kind of stuff under the Christmas tree. I mean, you're going to tell me that's Jesus? Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember one time I went over this person's house years ago before I got saved. So this one man, because my father could cook raccoon.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody don't know how to cook raccoon. So this man, he cooked some raccoon. So he said, but here's what I never forgot. He probably dead now. This was 30-something years ago, even before I got saved. I've been saved 34 years. He said, you never see me no higher than I am now. You know, this man that cooked this raccoon, he was bent. So you know, and folks getting all drunk, all these Christmas parties,
uh-huh.
People doing all kinds of stuff. Is that Christ?
No,
it's not Christ. Ain't got nothing
sitting,
to do with it.
Sitting up under a mistletoe, kissing somebody that ain't your husband or your wife.
Right.
That's sin. What they got to do with Christ?
Right.
Nothing.
Period.
So it is. At the end of the day, Elder, it's all foolishness. You know, there's some out there that are still participating, and they may not have yet received the truth yet. If you're listening, we encourage you to go on and just research it on your own.
Right.
It's not a easy pill to swallow, especially if you have children, because you're going to feel like an outcast.
Right.
But if you want to serve Christ in all truth, then that, along with many other things, you're going to have to line up. Amen.
Right.
And do.
Right. And there's things you can do. I mean, nobody's stopping you from going out buying. We bought things for our children,
mm-hmm.
and we still do. But one thing they know, daddy bought it, mama bought it,
that's right.
Granddaddy or grandmama bought it. Ain't no Santa Claus bought
that's
it.
Right.
I'm not going to tell that lie. And I told that lie to my oldest son, because he was 3 when I first got saved. And so I remember when he sat in Santa Claus' lap, he was crying.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't tell that lie to none of the rest of them, because the plumb line came. Made a difference. So there's not the truth to make you free.
That's right.
And so our children know the truth. And so you can do what you want. You can go around who you want. I mean, we go around relatives and all of that.
Yeah.
But we know the truth.
Amen.
And so I almost hate to say Merry Christmas, you know. But we, like I say, if people want to know, we'll say it. We'll tell it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know what it is.
Amen.
And that is Christmas ain't got nothing to do with the birth of Christ. So it don't matter who don't like it. The folks will get bent. Don't take away their Christmas from them. They love that. So we know our time is about gone. So we hope that everybody enjoyed the book of Romans. We tried to give understanding and know that's the key phrase, the righteousness of God. So we thank God for that. So we thank God for his word. There's nothing like his word. We know our time is hard spent on today, and we thank you for listening to Truth. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.